That's the sound of biodiversity, something that you might not hear in the near future. An ambitious 10-year plan to slow the nation's extinction crisis was launched by Bush Heritage Australia today. The not-for-profit organisation created a plan called Saving Our Species, with the hope of raising $20 million for funding. Professor and Chair of Climate Change at the University of Adelaide, Corey Bradshaw, discussed the current biodiversity situation in Australia with The Wire's Brittany Evans.
The issue of stemming the biodiversity decline in Australia is a complicated one, as most big problems tend to be. These sorts of initiatives that look at saving species, in particular reserves, and removing some of the principal determinants of decline and extinction are a great first start. But unfortunately, our problems are a lot larger than that. For example, the 10 to 20 million odd feral cats in this country that eat entire train loads worth of animals every day, it's continent-wide, and it's not a problem that's going to go away. I mean, we can focus on predator removals in certain areas, and as I said, that's a great start. But we're never really going to be able to reduce the cat densities to any meaningful degree in the country over such a large space where it actually affects many of the threatened species that we have now. The other issue is that on the one hand we say, yes, we're going to save all these species and we're going to, you know, create predator exclusions and manage fire and everything, but we never really talk about the true determinant of a lot of the problems, and that's deforestation. And we've lost, you know, well over 40% of Australia's forests in the last 200 years. We might be doing a little bit of good on one side, but we're creating vast problems on the other by not addressing it. So not only do we have to stop deforestation entirely in this country, we have to reforest at a massive scale.
So how serious is this crisis? For example, how many species do we lose each year?
The concept of species loss, it's a difficult one to quantify because, well, first of all, we've only probably censused 5% of all living species on the planet. Things like mammals, we know mostly what's there, but even then we discover mammals every year. So worldwide, it's not only the problem of not knowing what's out there, but also seeing when an animal goes or a plant goes extinct is very difficult, because as they get very low densities and become rare, you don't actually notice when they go extinct. So we're losing species all the time that we don't even know exist. So it's a double-edged sword. Globally, we're probably looking at about, you know, 1,000 times the so-called background extinction rate. No, that's the extinction rate that occurs between the mass extinction events. It's a difficult number to put down on paper, but suffice it to say, it's much higher than it needs to be and it should be.
You've mentioned about the deforestation and feral cats. Is that the major cause of species loss, or are human beings a problem?
Well, ultimately, we're the problem for everything. I mean, we are the ones that introduced the cats, and we're the ones that cut down the trees. We have other effects, of course. We are putting lots of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. That's warming things up and changing climate patterns. In an already climatically stressed environment, Australia is rapidly changing, and we have some of the highest rates of warming in the southern hemisphere, especially in southeastern Australia. So all of these things combined create what we call extinction synergies. Now, actually, very few species go extinct from a single driving process. Yes, an asteroid impact, you know, that at that scale wipes things out, vaporizes them instantaneously, but that we don't see that too often. So what it tends to be is that it's kind of like a 1-2-3 punch. So you can imagine something like overhunting a particular species will drive it to small population size. We call this the declining population paradigm. And then you can have some other catastrophic random event like a bushfire or a cyclone come out and wipe out that small population. And you can also have disease involved. So usually there's several things that work together that make this interaction effect. So we have to hit all of these drivers simultaneously and try to reduce them.
How much has climate change become an issue in terms of species loss in the recent years?
Climate change is really starting to take a foothold and starting to exacerbate some of these already really important drivers of extinction. Small changes in climate can have disastrous effects, for example, in just increasing the fire frequency. So a big fire comes through, wipes out the last population of, let's say, some sort of quoll or some bandicoot, and then you couple that with the feral predators out there, and there's not a lot of hope for many of these species. Now, we can do what we can to offset these as best as possible, but putting all our eggs in one particular basket, like setting aside a few reserves, as I said, isn't going to cut it.
If you could make one big policy change that would make a difference to species loss, what would it be?
I think the most effective and realistic policy change is just getting really serious about emissions. And I would completely transform Australia's electricity generation and its coal production and phase fossil fuels out almost entirely. And we could do that within 20 to 30 year timeframe if we had the political will to do so.
Professor Corey Bradshaw, he is Chair of Climate Change at the University of Adelaide.